I'm Jerry Butenhoff, coming to you from the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. We love authors on our show. Those of you who have listened to us for any length of time have figured that out by now. First of all, because we always tell you that, and because we have a number of them on. They always have good stories, because we found that authors, in this particular golf authors in some cases, come from all different walks of life. And some of them have this passion to become a writer or write a book here and there, sometimes just one, sometimes a couple more than that. And we've got another one with us today. Rob Fisher has just released a book called The Wichita Kid, A Caddy's Story. So the story of a 12-year-old fatherless boy who moves from Kansas to the big city of Cleveland and takes a job at as a caddy at a country club. Mr. Fisher is on the phone with us right now. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Jerry?
I'm splendid, splendid. Hope things are you? You don't live in Ohio anymore now, is that right?
I don't, although my family is back there. I live just outside Washington, D.C. now.
Okay, I know that you are an Ohio native, which gives you the sort of some of the background for the Cleveland location of your book here. Before we get into the book a little bit, like I said, all of our authors have various backgrounds sometimes before they delve into the golf literary world. Let's talk about you a little bit, and you're an Ohio native, and then where do we go from there?
Well, I came to Washington, D.C. because I went to Georgetown University and got into business. Actually, went back to the Midwest for a couple of years to go back to Michigan, but then settled back in D.C., and I'm an economic consultant here in D.C.
All right, sounds good. And where are we headed that way? Are we actually in an upswing like some people think, or not so much?
Yeah, I think so. That's my professional opinion.
That's good. That's good. Hopefully you and everybody else are right there.
Yeah.
So, The Wichita Kid, the book, let's talk about inspiration and how long had you had this dream and what kind of spurred you to get started and get motivated and make this thing happen?
Well, I always felt like I had this unique experience when I was growing up. I caddied at Westwood Country Club, which is on the west side of Cleveland, for 9 years, and it's interesting that we spend time in our growing up at a place like that, and it forms us as who we are today as much as any school does, and yet we kind of leave that behind. You know, we don't have reunions, we don't have anything like that, and there were so many funny things that happened during those 9 years, where you had one of the largest caddy programs, if not the largest caddy program in Ohio, kids ranging from 12 to 18 and or 20 at times, often unsupervised and often with many hours, idle hours on their hands.
Right.
And it just was a, I realized over the years, especially when I would run into former caddies when I would go back to Cleveland, and we'd spend time just laughing about all the crazy things that happened. I felt like that it was a unique story that I wanted to tell. And I think that's it really, I'm happy with how it's come together. What I did was it is a novel, but a lot of it, most of what happened in the book, or what takes place in the book, actually did happen. And I kind of compressed my experiences from the 9 years of caddying down into a single summer and tell it from the perspective of an outsider who comes from Wichita, Kansas, to Cleveland, give it that perspective.
Yeah. Now, I have two nephews, and that's how they got into golf, was they started caddying up in the Minneapolis area. They were about, 11, 12, 14 when they started. 9 years seems like a long time. How old were you when you started there?
I started when I was 12.
Okay.
And then when I first started, you couldn't caddy until once you graduated from college, but they changed that.
Okay.
When I was in college. And so I came back for 2 years during college, and I caddied a bit then, but I was I don't mean to brag, but I was the assistant caddy master and bagroom supervisor pretty lofty titles.
Yeah.
So basically, I ran the first tee when I came back, which was also pretty fun.
Yeah, cool. All right, that's good. You mentioned something about it's a life education, something like that, as opposed to your mental education or whatever that you get in a school, and that is so true. And it really shapes who a lot of people become, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and part of it's that you're taken out of your normal environment of school, and being a 12-year-old, you're thrust into this environment where you have to kind of struggle and survive among both the other caddies that are there, and some of whom are older than you, and then learning how to deal with golfers on the course who are, by definition of being, members of this country club, rather successful, and you're seeing them. Golf brings out, as I think most of us, most of your listeners recognize, brings out the worst in people as well as sometimes the best, but mostly the worst in people.
Yeah.
So having to deal with the a golfer whose game is falling apart, and sometimes they are blaming that on you, and sometimes justifiably they're blaming it on you because you're a 12-year-old kid who's never been around golf before, and you don't know that finding a ball in the rough and picking it up because you're so excited that you found it is a two-stroke penalty. So
yeah, I'm speaking with Rob Fisher. He's the author of a new book called The Wichita Kid, A Caddy Story. Rob, in your caddying experience at Westwood there in the Cleveland area, was there a pretty diverse, economic background with some of your fellow caddies? Were some of them a little bit affluent and then some that were really, not very well off at all? Did you have a pretty big mix there in your group when you were there?
I wouldn't say there was a huge mix.
Okay.
There were some. I'll start with the top range. There were a few of the members' kids who caddied.
Okay.
And it went down to the program drew from a lot of the suburbs and some of the Cleveland area itself, which wasn't as affluent. We didn't have many low income kids who came and caddied, but it was all kids too. We didn't have any adult lifer caddies.
Yeah. Okay. So that's you had a pretty young group there. See now that certainly is not the case at all places. I know that my first experience sort of working for any kind of golf related thing was on the grounds crew at one of the Los Angeles country clubs. And the one that I was at in particular had a lot more adult caddies, anybody from, college kids during the summer to people in their 60s and that sort of thing. Rob, since we had to rearrange things, we'd like you to stick with us a little bit longer and we'll delve into the book itself here a little bit if you can hang with us. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Rob Fisher is my guest right now. He is the author of a brand new book called The Wichita Kid, A Caddy's Story. It's the story of a 12-year-old fatherless boy named Kevin who moves from Kansas to Cleveland and takes a job at a country club there, and we're going to talk to Rob a little bit about Kevin himself and maybe a couple of other characters in the book here. You are listening to Tee to Green, coming to you every Sunday morning at this time. We're worldwide on the American Forces Network, coast to coast on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
GolfDiscount.com is already the best place to find high-quality golf clubs, bags, shoes, and more at the guaranteed lowest prices. Now it's also where you can win a brand-new tailor-made R15 driver. Go to GolfDiscount.com/radio and sign up for our newsletter, and you'll be entered for a chance to win. While you're there, you can write product reviews for even more chances to win. That's right, the best place for great golf gear since 1995 just got better. Head to GolfDiscount.com/radio now, and a tailor-made R15 driver could be yours. That's GolfDiscount.com/radio.
Not all waters are created equal, and that's why everyone from athletes and celebrities to weekend warriors are choosing Alchemy. It's the ultimate health and wellness water. Alchemy hydrates you faster, helps balance your body's pH levels, stimulates your metabolic function, and is clinically proven to boost the immune system. Plus, Alchemy's patented water is rich in bioavailable oxygen to improve vitality and performance. Available at select retailers and online through Amazon at alchemywater.com. That's alchemywater.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm afraid to ask. Well, what is it? What's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
Tee to Green takes you to the driving range with our tip of the week. The Broadmoor is one of the world's premier resorts and the longest holder of the prestigious AAA Five Diamond Award. This 3,000-acre property has 700 rooms and suites, a world-class amenity spa and fitness center, plus more than 185,000 square feet of meeting space. The Broadmoor is located 5 miles southwest of downtown Colorado Springs and 1 hour south of Denver. The Broadmoor continues to stand in the forefront of world-class facilities, amenities, and service, combining modern comfort and convenience with an elegant charm of the past.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Kelble, the head golf pro at the Broadmoor. Today, I want to give you a few tips about playing in the wind. First off, I want you to remember that you got to swing within yourself when playing into the wind. That may mean shortening up. That may mean hitting a 7-iron instead of a 3-wood or something. A lot of people want to swing harder into the wind. Actually, it's just the opposite. You want to take it a little easier. Slower swing pace is always beneficial into the wind, as that will take spin off the ball and therefore not make it go up. The other thing is just widen your stance a little bit. A little wider stance gives you a little better base, a little better chance of hitting a shot on the face of the club. And into the wind, that's the name of the game.
For more on saving strokes, check out the website, teetogreenradio.com, or visit your nearest PGA professional.
This is your number one source for golf news and entertainment, Tee to Green, coming to you from the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. I'm Jerry Buttenhoff. The latest book that we've had shipped our way is called The Wichita Kid, A Caddy's Story. It's the first novel by my guest Rob Fisher, and we're going to delve into the book here a little bit. Rob, when you decided that you were going to go ahead with this, from the day you wrote down word number one, how long did it take you to get all this put together?
About 10 years.
Okay.
Quite a long time. You know, in those 10 years, I've had a few kids, and, it's been it's tough to do that. Tough to be a writer when you have another life going on.
Yeah,
but
it
certainly. It probably took me. I wrote it. You know, the first 2 years, it took me to write, and then it just kind of sat there at about 90% before I could dust it back off and start up again.
Yeah, I know how that's some stick-to-itive rightness right there, 10 years. And I understand. I do a little music writing, and sometimes a song takes a day, and sometimes it takes a year and a half. So you just you just never know. So Kevin is the 12-year-old fatherless boy who has moved from Kansas to Cleveland and takes a job at the country club there in Cleveland. Now, I'm guessing, first of all, I just got started with this, so I'm barely into it. You certainly paint an early picture and get people pulled in with the little story in the two-page prologue here. But I guess we should find out why Kevin and his mother have made the move, if we can do that without spoiling too much here.
Sure. his mom is struggling with some psychological issues and needs to check herself into a facility in Kansas. And so he has to, they have nowhere else to turn but to have him spend the summer with his estranged grandparents in Cleveland. So
gotcha.
there's a bit of a plot there where she's really struggling, and Kevin himself struggles with his own anxiety. So it gives the book another layer of that I think make it interesting.
Yeah, very interesting turn. Now, a lot of what is in here is based on some of your experiences as a caddy. I'm guessing that you are like most of our other golf fiction writers, where the characters in the book are a composite of some of the people that you worked with and met in your days there.
No, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some are composite, some are, I've just kind of changed the names and descriptions. I've had fellow caddies who have read the book, guys I've worked with who I've spoken to, and they say, okay, so so-and-so is this guy, and so-and-so is that guy, right? I'm like, yeah. So some of these are not going to be hard for people to figure out. I think there were a lot of big personalities both among the caddy set and there were a lot of big personalities among the members too, so they provided pretty good subjects for me to write about.
How much is Rob Fisher the caddy fictionalized into this narrative here?
Probably some of the stuff actually happened to me.
Okay.
And the character of Kevin is it would probably take a psychologist to figure out how much of that is me and how much of that is fiction. So
okay. Sounds good. My guest is Rob Fisher. He's the author of a new book called The Wichita Kid. Rob, on the back cover here, it explains a little bit about the caddy program led by an old stern caddy master, but the older teenage caddies run the show. And based on that, I'm guessing that there's a fair amount of shenanigans that goes on in your book here.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think that was what inspired me to write it was, as you put it, the shenanigans that go on. There was so much that went on behind the scenes as we caddied that I don't know how much the golfers knew what was going on, but that I put in the book anywhere from betting on the golfers that were caddying for to let's say helping out their golf game as best we could, and just kind of trying to mess with each other, whether it's one thing that we used to always do was sand the pins, so that if someone was in a foursome behind you, you'd walk over to the when you're tending the pin and the players are putting out, and you'll walk over and dip the end of the pin into the sand trap. Huh. And then jam it back into the hole when they're done.
Yes.
So that when the guy behind you was tending the pin and doesn't know that it's sanded, that he can't get the pin out.
It's very, and, yes, and I'm aware of that, yeah.
And he looks like the idiot, and in some cases the whole cup would come out. So it's things like that that we used to do just to entertain ourselves. I think we were the whole environment led to a bunch of smart alecks trying to see how much they could get away with without getting in trouble, and sometimes we got in trouble too.
Are you a fan of Caddyshack, the movie? Obviously, that is way over the top, but there might have been some things in there that you maybe witnessed in your days at Westwood, huh?
Yes, it definitely is over the top. I think that my favorite part of that movie is Brian Doyle Murray as the caddy master.
Yeah.
The way he deals with the caddies is so spot on, and there's one scene, it's really minor. But I think all of the Westwood caddies would have smiled when he finishes a scene basically and just kind of randomly turns to another caddy and says, "Pick up that wrapper," and it's exactly what our caddy master would have done. You know, it's no matter what you do, you have to go. You know, you have to pick up that wrapper and do whatever the caddy master says.
Yeah. The book is, I think, just over 300 pages, but it's spaced quite largely, so it's a quick little read. Who's your target audience here, or don't you have one, really?
I think the target audience is, I think there are two of them. One is just any golfer, you know, especially those who are in their, you know, 30s, 40s and up, probably 40s and up, who lived during that time, and who, I think one thing that it captures is the freedom that we had in the 70s and early 80s that doesn't exist anymore.
I hear you. Mm-hmm.
And so much of the scenes are drawn from the fact that we were unsupervised and we were riding our bikes all over the place and doing whatever we wanted to do, and being out of the house for 12 hours a day or so. So I think that's part of it. It's the golfers, it's those seeking the nostalgia of the 70s and 80s. But then on the other side of it, I think that it's really appropriate for teens now who are, whether they're interested in golf or not. A lot of my kids' friends are reading the book too. And as a parent of a 12-year-old boy who I can't believe he would be actually going to the golf course right now, you know, as I did at that age, I think that it's so hard to get boys interested in books these days. And I think any teenage boy especially would find this just a great read.
If I'm let's say I'm you and I'm a father of a 12-year-old boy and maybe I golf and maybe I don't, but I'm thinking that my son, hey, this is something that might be good for you to do during the summers or something like that. Will this book be a good barometer of what my boy can expect when he goes and maybe looks into something like that?
I think so. It may be, you know, under the lens of it was a different time.
Sure,
Certainly understanding what a caddy does and what being a caddy entails is certainly a part of the book.
So I'm speaking with Rob Fisher. He's the author of the new book called The Wichita Kid, A Caddy Story. So, Rob, when you have 10 years to spare again, are you going to delve into another project or aren't you sure yet?
Yeah, hopefully I know how to do this a little better now. So I haven't thought of what the next project is, but yes, I'd like to do it again.
And if you do something like that, are you going to stick to something sports-related, or you think you'll venture off into something else, or are we too early for that?
I think I would stick with something sports related and maybe even golf related too. I've just realized that it's such a, you know, I love golf and I love the whole environment and the microcosm that the golf course creates, that I think it's such a ripe area to write something like a novel about.
And I don't know if you're still a fan of the Cleveland area sports teams, but you can certainly use some of the heartbreak that the Cleveland fans have had. yes, had to go through with their various teams.
I definitely am a Cleveland sports fan and am raising my children as Cleveland sports fans. There's also a scene in the book that takes place at an Indians game down at the old Cleveland Stadium, too. So I bring a little bit of that into the book as well.
Sounds good. Rob Fisher, author of The Wichita Kid, A Catty Story. You can find it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I know for sure. There's also, do you have a website separately for yourself there also, Rob?
No, I'm on Facebook. There's a Facebook page, The Wichita Kid. There's also a Twitter account, Wichita Kid Book. It is available on all of the ebook platforms.
Sounds good. That's right. Also on iBooks app and that sort of thing. Exactly.
Yep.
So Rob Fisher, author of The Wichita Kid. Hey, thanks for spending a little overtime with me here today as we had to shuffle things around a little bit. Best of luck. We'll keep track of how things go for you here. And hopefully we've put the word out and to a few more people that you wouldn't have reached otherwise here also.
Great, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Rob Fisher, The Wichita Kid, A Catty Story is the name of the book. Good at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the iBooks app, all the other ebook platforms.